Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, on the Leonard LoPate show today, nearly 600,000 Americans died of cancer last year. He'll take a look at the remarkable history of the 4,000-year-old war that medicine has waged against the disease and why cancer is so hard to beat. That's today at noon on 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC, the Leonard LoPate show. Now, here's a list of who's making money off this year's NCAA men's basketball tournament, also known as March Madness. And the list is long. There is the NCAA, the nonprofit body that runs intercollegiate sports. They recently signed a 14-year, $10.8 billion deal with CBS to air the games. There are shoe companies, which sponsor many of the teams and coaches and sell jerseys, shirts, and so on. There are coaches themselves, many of whom make more than $1 million. There are the institutions who get some of the revenue sharing. There is even the Brian Lehrer Show staff. Producer Jody Avergan has already locked up the WNYC office brackets pool by correctly picking Butler and Connecticut in this year's upset-filled Final Four. Attention, IRS. But one group conspicuously absent from the profit sharing is the players themselves. They get not a cent, no endorsements, no travel stipend. They're not allowed to sell their jerseys to collectors. And even years after they graduate, their likeness is used in marketing and video games, but no revenue from those things comes back to them. All of this is documented in a new Frontline story airing tonight at 9 p.m. on Channel 13. Frontline correspondent Lowell Bergman joins me now. Welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Thanks for having me.
How's your bracket doing?
I don't have one, actually. You know, it's illegal.
It's a conflict of interest, huh?
That's true.
There are two basic critiques in your piece, both related, of course. But one, there is too much money in college basketball to begin with. Massive television deals, huge contracts for coaches, all the things that I mentioned. And then two, that none of this gets to the players themselves. Which do you think is the bigger problem?
Well, I think the first is the biggest problem because of the contradiction involved. This is supposed to be amateur sports. There is no other country in the world that organizes a basketball tournament or any tournament around its institutions of higher learning. If it was Division III or Division II, which is real amateur sports in many ways, but the Division I situation is sort of out of place and just yearning for some change.
And as you investigated the system, who did you come to think of as mainly at fault? You profile Sonny Vaccaro, who basically invented the system in which high school recruiters would make deals with the shoe companies, who in turn made deals with coaches who were then working with the NCAA. Who's acting the least honorably in that chain?
Well, Vaccaro at least is honest about where he was coming from the beginning. He was a businessman out to make a buck, and he was going to use his connections to youth basketball to help major corporations do that. I think the difficulty is that the NCAA has in defending the system. It's a qualitative change that's happened because of the quantity of money that's involved. It's hard to maintain that this is truly an amateur sport. The scholarships, for example, are not given because of academic achievement or economic need. They're given for athletic skill.
Listeners, we can take calls with your quick responses to the question, should college athletes be paid if there's a lot of money coming into the schools because of their play? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Give us like a yes or no and a 15-second rationale, 212-433-9692, because we don't have much time with Lowell Bergman from Frontline, whose piece on this airs tonight at 9 o'clock. So in the film, you ask Michael Lewis, author of Moneyball and Blind Side and other books, why anyone should care about all this. And he says, you shouldn't care unless you have some sort of weird obsession with justice. Was he being sarcastic?
I think so. I mean, Michael, and also somewhat accurate. I mean, the question is, should they be compensated in some form, if not while they're playing, then if they leave college, don't get a degree, for instance, that there's some kind of trust fund or something that will take care of them afterwards. You know, we interviewed a lot of people, some of them aren't in the film, older players from the 60s who are in classic sports games that are rebroadcast all the time. They've never seen a dime.
Eben on our Facebook page writes, they already get paid. Scholarships are a form of financial compensation. They also get money from boosters.
Hello.
Not sure what it means by that. Can you still hear me? Lowell, did we lose you? Lowell, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Are you hearing that about...
No, I didn't hear
okay.
the question.
All right. On our Facebook page, listener named Eben writes, they already get paid. Scholarships are a form of financial compensation. I think the argument is, should they be paid more? And should booster cash be legal? What is booster cash? Do you know that term?
Yeah, booster cash means that they're just spreading money around the players who need money in many cases, because the average scholarship is $3,000 short on essential needs. In some institutions, it's $10,000 short. And that's one of the reasons why you see things like players getting targeted, you know, tarred by the NCAA for taking free meals or freebies here or freebies there. So it should be a living wage if it's going to be their wage or their scholarship.
Dustin in Trenton, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dustin.
Hi, how you doing, Brian? I just wanted to say that I'm a longtime listener. I just wanted to brief remarks. I think they should get paid. I agree with the expert who's speaking right now. You know, a lot of these students don't get, you know, exorbitant amount of money, and, you know, they get slammed for taking freebies for meals that any regular student could do. So if a regular student can't do it, why shouldn't they be able to, you know, why should they be slammed for something that any other regular person can do?
Dustin, thanks for listening. Call again.
You know, the one thing is they can't work outside to make money off their skill, which every other student can do.
Why is there such a taboo? Because a lot of the audience is going, pay college athletes, they're kids, they're students, this is amateur sports. Isn't there an inherently corrupting element to paying these college athletes?
How much gambling is going on in this room?
Enough gambling. But
no, but on top of that, the fact is they can't. If I'm a journalism student, I can go out in the summer and work at a newspaper or wherever. Even when the school's not in session, they can't make money off of their skill.
Would they go to class? Would they listen to their coaches if they were basically hired professionals?
Well, some of them, you know, admitted to us that they're really athlete students. Many of them don't graduate. People like Ed O'Bannon or Joe Kim Noah, who are in the piece, they never graduated from their colleges. They were interested in playing basketball, and because they had to play for colleges because of this two-year rule,
right. They
couldn't go to the NBA.
Carrie and Glenn Head has the other side of the argument. Carrie, hi.
Hi, it's Terry.
Terry, I'm sorry.
That's okay. As I listen to him, I'm changing my mind a bit, but I think they get scholarships and they're going to college, and once they go to professional ball, they'll be making a lot of money if they're good at what they do.
1.2% of them will ever make it to the NBA.
Okay.
That's how few people actually, in a sense, make any money, and then that tenure is usually limited. So they might be able to make some money off of the sport eventually, but it's a very small elite.
Do you have and we have about a minute left, do you have a preferred system for payment? Would it be a stipend? Would you let them have agents and endorsements? What would you do?
Well, I don't have a solution myself. However, one has been proposed in federal courts that a fund be established, particularly for the residual rights after they leave college, that they could tap to help them either finish their degrees or go on in life.
Bottom line, 10 years from now, do you think that college athletes will receive some sort of payment?
I think there will be a general change in the system eventually because, in fact, when you look at the economics of it, the schools are actually losing money, lots of money, and they can't afford to do that.
Give me another 20 seconds on that.
Because
people always wonder.
Show a profit.
Then why do so many schools keep funneling money into their non-academic sports programs?
Yeah, good question. You should ask your university because your student fees are paying for it.
All right. Lowell Bergman, frontline correspondent. The documentary on all of this airs tonight at 9 p.m. on Channel 13. What's the name of it?
Money and March Madness.
Money and March Madness. Tonight, Lowell, thank you very much.
Take care.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.